7:30 PM, I'm calling to order the council meeting for the Borough of Edgewood for Monday, December 19th. Ms. Bastian, you call the roll.
Mr. Bray.
Here.
Dr. Wallace. Mr. Wainwright.
Here.
Mr. Wilson.
Here.
Dr. Petrola. Mr. Fuller.
Here.
Ms. Schaefer.
Here, and let the record reflect that the mayor and the solicitor are also in attendance. If you'd all please stand with me to recite the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. This time we'll entertain items from the floor. If you would sign in, please, with your name and address, and you have 5 minutes to speak.
Good evening, Council. Alan Alexander is my name. I'm here. I'm also on the Region Square Civic Association Board, so I'm just kind of here as invite, you know, liaison. But I did.
Excuse me. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I do. I do have one issue that I walk up to the 61B a lot from Savannah, and seems that people along Hutchinson within the 400 block don't realize that you're supposed to clear your sidewalks, and it gets very, very dangerous. I have to sometimes walk in the street because the street's more safer than the sidewalk. And there's a couple of homes that do. I think the last one on the end by Edgewood or East End does a good job. I think maybe two more ends, but maybe a warning letter or something, you know, the, you know, for that one little stretch. On the other side of the street, they seem to do a good job, and there's a gentleman that I see at 61B. He's blind. If you've seen him, he walks. So I had to help him cross the street because it was too dangerous for him to try to walk on that sidewalk. So just maybe a warning letter or something.
Thank you.
Are we going to use the parking for Christmas again, you know, for the visitors?
Are we, Mayor Cook?
Yes.
Yeah, Mayor Cook will make a...
Okay.
Yeah, so, thank you. All right, next.
My name's Paul Heckberg. I live at 104 Washington Street, and I brought some handouts to give you. So let's see. So as you may know, there's a petition that I started. It's on this second and, well, third and fourth page of the handout I gave you. I'll read you the first sentence of the petition, just so we know what we're talking about here. The petition says, "We strongly urge Edgewood and Swissvale boroughs to install a crosswalk crossing South Braddock Avenue on the north side of the Sanders Street intersection as soon as possible, and not to ban pedestrian crossing as is currently planned." So let me read you the first two pages here, which are collected comments among the signatories of the petition. We got over 800 signatures, we got over 300 comments, and I'll read a few comments. The first few relate to injuries. So Linda Stiles wrote, "Drivers go too fast along Braddock. I know of three accidents, one fatal, almost exactly in that spot. Something needs to be done. A traffic light would be best, but this is a start." Gary Burdick says, "Traffic needs to be more aware of pedestrians. I have a friend who was hit by a car on Braddock Avenue and has been recovering from it for many years. She was almost killed." Adam Dove wrote, "I'm signing because my parents live very near to this intersection, and I have more than once seen them and other people I care about get nearly run over trying to cross." There were several comments relating to other crossing points along Braddock. The first relates to Hutchinson. Marion Edwards wrote, "Several of the businesses I use are near the corner of Sanders and Braddock. I happen to be a senior citizen. In times of extreme weather, it is a chore to go to Hutchinson and then down the other side. I well know the benefits of walking, but there comes a time when it is difficult. It would also slow down speed in the business district. At one time, walkers had the right of way, but now it seems cars do. Marion. One relates to Charleston. That's down the hill near the Wilkins School. Tim Madel wrote, "The borough's plan will do nothing to encourage responsible driving along the stretch, which is the real issue here. It is much safer to cross at Sanders, even without a crosswalk, than at the completely neglected crosswalk at Charleston. I fear for my safety every time I cross there because of drivers going 20 or more miles over the limit." Biddle also came up. That's up near the tennis courts. Ron Civillo wrote, "This needs to be a safe crossing zone. Crossing zone lights should be installed that prompt cars to stop when pedestrians need to cross, similar to what is in place at South Braddock and Biddle." Also, bus stop and business issues came up. Joshua Catone wrote, "I used to work at the Square Cafe and know what business, and I know that busy intersection well. Anything that can be done to make that corner safer for people to cross, which they do, regardless of the stoplight at Hutchinson, is a good idea to me." Jennifer Morris wrote, "I'm signing because I walk out to Braddock regularly to the Port Authority bus with my young daughter to her school bus. Our lives would be much better with a crosswalk crossing. Plus, a crosswalk would make it much more likely that we'd walk out even more often, support the local businesses, we'd be safer, and car traffic would slow down, so everyone would be safer." And the last comments related to pedestrians and reducing car speeds. Sarah Wertheimer wrote, "This is a high-traffic pedestrian and car area. Having a crosswalk will benefit both the pedestrians, the businesses, and car drivers. I believe it will also help cars trying to exit Sanders onto Braddock if traffic slows down for the crosswalk. It will improve safety all the way around." Joshua Siebert wrote, "I am a frequent patron of the Regent Square Business District, and I believe it is speeding, careless drivers, and a lack of traffic enforcement, not pedestrians, who are the problem. In a dense business district, pedestrians should come first, period." Finally, Lena Aquiline wrote, "Prohibiting pedestrian crossing at South Braddock and Sanders is impractical and untenable. Please accept and embrace the reality of this situation and create a safe blinking light crosswalk option for our families, the residents and patrons of Regent Square. Regardless of the transportation studies, we live here, we pay the taxes, and we know what is needed. Please make it happen." So those are a sampling of the comments. You can read more of the comments in the later pages.
I actually went through all of the comments that were sent to us.
Yeah, I was quite impressed at the quality of the comments. They were, you know, pointing out some issues that I had never thought of. Some useful ideas, I thought.
Anything else? We did not receive the signatures. We only received the comments. There were 359 comments. 301 of them were from Pittsburgh.
I could send you a spreadsheet of the signatures if you want that.
Well, in the newspaper it said that you had received 500 to 700 signatures.
Well,
so
we're
you
up.
Got the comments, yeah. I counted them up to make sure.
Yeah, we're up over 800 signatures now, and I have the. We chose not to put all your email addresses into the system because, well, we didn't want you to be bombarded with emails. So I can get you the spreadsheet that has a list. It has name, city. People typically wrote Pittsburgh, even though they
right.
might.
I saw that. Yeah.
Zip code, and that's about it.
That would be very helpful.
Name, city, and zip code.
Yeah, that would be helpful. Yes. Just 1 minute. He's got the floor. Got the floor.
So that's basically what I wanted to say is to give you an idea of what the comments on this petition were saying.
And the petition itself said that we were banning pedestrians from crossing Sanders.
That's our understanding.
That's what was in the petition.
That's right. That's right.
And we did speak to that, Mr. Heckbert, if you remember, and we said that we weren't banning people. I believe we had a fairly long discussion about people moving towards Hutchinson and the difficulty with the topography and so on.
Well, I don't recall that you said in October when I came and spoke that you were not planning to ban. Some of the history on this is that I and the other members of the Committee on Traffic Safety with the Regent Square Civic Association had spoken to people in Swissvale, in particular Greg Batchy. So I had a meeting with Greg Batchy back in middle of last year, middle of this year. And he was giving, we wanted to know all of the plans for Braddock, you know, crosswalk here, signal there, new storm drain here, curb cuts there. And he gave me some maps, and he gave me some information on where all of these would be distributed along Braddock. And we were told that there would be, that the funding was paying for 60 signs indicating no crossing or no pedestrians. And so working from the information that we had from Greg Batchy, I made up a map. And you might remember when I was here in October, I handed out copies of a map to
That's
you
correct.
All.
That's when we had the discussion and we talked about not banning people, but, you know, that people were going to cross there anyway and autonomy. And
well,
you don't recall that?
But I don't recall that you ever said we're not putting up signs
that would ban people. We were going to put up signs to direct them to the designated crosswalk.
I don't remember that you said that in October.
Okay.
So what would the signs say?
Well, we were going to have them direct people to
please
the
cross a crosswalk.
Please cross a designated crosswalk.
With an arrow or?
Well, you know.
Arrows were considered. Yes, there was certainly no signage that would say banning.
So well,
please cross a crosswalk with an arrow at the crosswalk.
Whether the sign is, you know, a stick figure of a man with a red slash through him or a sign saying, please cross a crosswalk, in both cases, you're telling people don't cross here.
We're advising people to cross where it's designated as safe to cross. That's
right.
Correct.
Well, I think regardless of that detail of what the sign says, I think the people did respond to the idea of putting up signs discouraging or banning crossing, and they do want a crosswalk.
They did respond to your saying that we were banning people. The majority of the comments also said that they wanted a safe crosswalk,
mm-hmm.
And that's paramount. We all want people to be safe, and that's what we said in October as well. And did you read the community comment that we posted on the website?
Oh, yeah.
Have you read that? So, okay. So that explains what we intend to do with the proposed traffic study. Right. But as I went through all of these, and I circled stuff, and I appreciate you providing the comments to us. And almost all of them were about having a safe crosswalk, about the dangers of crossing at Saunders. You know, people, it was Russian roulette, you know, walking across there. But we all want the residents to be safe. And as we said in October, we weren't choosing traffic over pedestrians. We want to be able to make sure that everyone is safe. And if because of the topography, it was not going to be safe to cross there, which we had been told before, then, you know, we're not going to put a crosswalk where it's not safe.
Well, one observation is that Charleston, you know, one block down the hill, cars are definitely going faster past Charleston. And there, you know, there is a crosswalk there now.
But it's this field of vision.
And you plan to move it a little bit, but your plans are to continue to have a crosswalk.
That came from the traffic safety study that was done. That's correct.
I would think that, you know, if we're ranking crossing points in terms of danger to human life, I would say Charleston is much more dangerous than Sanders.
We're not ranking, What we're saying is that the when you're coming down the hill, there's a sight, there's a point of vision. When you're coming up the hill, it crests right there. And this is why we're having the traffic, we have a motion for a traffic study. Because what I said in the letter is, in response to our residents and to make sure we can designate a safe crosswalk at Saunders, Edgewood Council passed a motion to permit the borough manager, and so did Swissvale, to get a cost estimate for a traffic study from the CEC in order to utilize the information we already had, so we're not reinventing the wheel, but adding to it, from the RSA, and in partnership with Swissvale Council to do a joint traffic study specifically on the safety of a crosswalk at Sanders and with the RSA to address these questions. Would a designated crosswalk at Sanders be safe? If yes, how could we optimize the safety of putting one there? Can we secure funding for those safety measures, requesting grants and so on, if available? And if the answer is no, then we'll have done our due diligence in response to and for the safety of the residents of Swissvale. And as I was reading all of these comments, I believe that we were addressing the issues that the residents have. One, they would like to have a crosswalk at Saunders. They want to have safe passage. And we want to accommodate what we can. We want to make sure that we do our due diligence so that it is safe to do there. We've been told in the past that it's a site, you know, that's driver's site and that there are regulations. I'm not an engineer. I don't play one on TV, you know. So we're hiring people who that's their specialty to do. So with specifically for these questions, and Swissvale Council is also on board with that.
Yeah.
I mean, we're not adversarial here. We're all playing on the same team. But
I'm in favor of this traffic study that you're considering right now. I would point out that many of the comments did say cars go too fast. And so I think that's another argument to put in a crosswalk. You know, a crosswalk is one way to get cars to slow down a little.
Well, stop there.
Yeah.
I don't want to get in this conversation. Crosswalks are not traffic calming patterns that are approved by the FHWA or PennDOT. We do not consider human lives to be traffic calming. That is Russian roulette, and we're not playing.
Yeah. So what we're going to do is there's a motion on the agenda to, you know, for council to discern about or approve the traffic study. We have the cost estimate there that we're splitting with Swissvale. I believe Swissvale has already approved that. And these were the questions that we're going to have answered. And that came out of, you know, the concern that was expressed, all but a little bit skewed with the banning and, you know, that we prefer traffic over pedestrians. But out of that, there's some lemonade here, and out of that came these comments, which, you know, which we read and we'll take into consideration, but also we'll pass these comments on to the engineers who are doing the traffic safety study. And when we get that report, then we'll be able to determine these questions that I think everybody wanted to have, and that is, can we safely put a crosswalk there? If so, what will we need to do that so that it is safe, that we can warn drivers that there's a crosswalk
there. Perhaps you could put one of those road level signs.
We're going to rely on the experts for what should go there. And the other thing is that you know, what's going to be the cost for that, and you know, will we need to get a grant or whatever? And you know, we've got excellent people, obviously, with the $479,000 grant that we received to do. The safety things that were already in the RSA, I believe that, you know, if we would need to have a grant, you know, we have folks that we can tap to do that. So that's what we're going to do, and I think it's a logical sequence of things to be able to address, first of all, safety, and then feasibility, if indeed it can be done. And if it can be done, the engineers say, you know, based on their criteria and the rules of the road, that it can't be done, then we'll all know that it can't be done and why it can't be done, and specifically.
Okay? Isn't it true that because Braddock is not a state road, that you and, well, together with Swissvale, have the authority to put in a crossway?
We're not going to put, no, we do not. And we're not going to do anything that's not safe.
Right? Or do we have the
we don't have the authority for that.
So, but if it's not a state road,
Mr.
then...
Mr. Heckbart, this is what we're going to do.
We follow PennDOT regulations.
We're going to follow PennDOT regulations, okay? We want to do it safely.
Okay. I wanted to give Fran a chance to talk. So.
Yeah, please, you're next. Thank you, Mr. Heckbert.
Sure. My name is Fran Escalante. Full disclosure, I am a City of Pittsburgh resident. I do have to say that, but I am on the Traffic Safety Committee. I was hoping I could talk about a couple of things here. First off, I did actually want to say thank you. I mean, I realize when we were here in October, and you know, maybe the tone has been a little bit, maybe not the way that I, you know, that I wanted it to be. The truth of the matter is the TAP grant that you have gotten, you know, for the improvements so far, thank you for that. And for your efforts to commission this particular safety study, this traffic safety study, thank you for that as well.
I appreciate really your comments here as well.
It really is. I mean, it really is a good thing, and we appreciate that. I appreciate that, and that's worth being explicit about.
Thank you.
I think it's important to talk a little bit about. Everyone agrees that safety at a crosswalk is important. I think one of the things that has become clear to me in reviewing the comments is that. This is a thing where, like it or not, people are crossing there. We all know people are crossing there. To get caught up in what I view as semantics over whether, you know, a sign is banning crossing there or encouraging something else, that's really, to me, a minor point in the grand scheme of things. Because I think, really, what we're trying to convey to you based on the feedback that we've gotten is that yes, people want the crosswalk to be safe. No one's advocating designing or installing or even investigating something that's not going to be safe. But I do believe that there is a safe crosswalk design that can be utilized there. I believe that there are examples of that exist, you know, in other places. I believe that even in the city of Pittsburgh, this is a design that has been utilized increasingly over the last, you know, 3 years or so. Cost might be another issue, and I agree that that's a bridge to cross, like once we even, you know, find out what design is possible. But I guess what I want to ask and what I want to make sure of is that, number one, I mean, this is a thing that you said you've investigated numerous times, and there's always been a reason why it hasn't been done. You know, crest of a hill or cars are going too fast. And I hear, Julie, what you're saying about concerns about you know, pedestrians in a crosswalk are not traffic calming. You're right, the pedestrian is not the traffic calming. The curb bulb out is the traffic calming. There are other things that are the traffic calming. You know, not the pedestrian. The pedestrian is not the science experiment in this.
Right.
We all know this. But those designs exist out there in the world right now.
And that's why we're doing this study.
So to that end, my request is number one, I request we're all going through this. You've been responsive to our, you know, requests. You know, you have absolutely, you know, you're putting your money where your mouth is requesting this study be done. I want to make sure, you know, that we really give it our, you know, an honest, open mind about whether or not there is an option here. And the other thing, and this is a thing that I really want to ask and insist on, in fact, which is that there be some opportunity for community input in this process. I don't know if you guys saw this, because we just got this today on the safety committee, but the Civic Association did put out a letter that was dated today that it was addressed to you guys. I don't know if you saw it in
time.
Yes,
we did.
Okay. I mean, you know, one of the things, you know, they were very clear to ask about community input as well and about being a vehicle for, you know, for input into this, especially given that it's come with such broad community, you know, community interest and community support. So I want to ask, I don't know if it's worked into the proposal that there is a small feedback for community input, or if there is a plan for a meeting that the community can attend.
The first thing that we need to do is do the engineering study, the traffic. We need to have an understanding about that. That's first.
And so you're saying that there will not necessarily...
Well, I mean, when we have engineers look at our sewers, we don't have public input about that. It's something that you need to do, and you get the information. But with respect to the bulb outs and traffic calming and things that may be required if a crosswalk would be possible there, those kind of things will be part of a design, and you know, that we would consider. And we, you know, post our meetings and what we're going to talk about and so on. And you know, we welcome input. It's not, you know, but there are certain things that...
At that point.
Right, right.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, you can understand why that's not necessarily the most satisfying answer for me right now. I mean, I want to make sure that there is at least a true understanding of the breadth of the community's interest in doing this, which I think we've shown.
We understand the breadth of the community's interest. We really do. I mean, we live in the community,
I understand.
We understand why people want one there, and our responsibility is to make sure that we keep the public as safe as we can and not promote unsafe behavior. That's key. And we are approaching this with an open mind. I know that, you know, it seems like, as I said, you know, we're not adversaries here.
Understood.
And that's why I do appreciate your comment that you wrote. And your comment
very
this
evening. Sincerely.
And I understand. And that's sincerely. I'm being sincere in thanking you. You know, we're not adversaries. We all want safe passage. I want to be able to cross safely, you know, with my kids and, you know, whatever. So we're not adversaries. We're partners in this. And we have to do our part. And you know, we are putting the taxpayers' money, you know, in doing this. And we're taxpayers, too. So that's the first thing that we're going to do. And then when we get that report, you know, and they'll have, you know, some ideas that we can do with respect to if a crosswalk can be put there. And we'll be discussing those, most definitely.
Okay, so, I mean, even if the potential for input is here back at these meetings, I mean,
it should be. I mean, these are public meeting, open meetings. It's a forum where the first and third Monday of every month, we tape them, and you know, so yeah, absolutely.
By the way, I'd like to make one factual point. When I raised my hand earlier, and you would. Commented on where people were from that were signing this. One of the good things about the Excel spreadsheet that we get from change.org is it lets you sort, it gives you the zip code.
Yeah.
And I will say, I did a count today, I sorted for the zip codes. Between 15218 and 15221, that was 62% of the respondents. And then when you factored in what I would say the other kind of traditional East End, City of Pittsburgh neighborhoods, Shadyside, Point Breeze, Squirrel Hill, East Liberty, Homewood, that brought it up to 82% of the respondents.
Well, so, we're most concerned with the 15218 folks, you know.
Understood, but I just wanted to make sure that, and I think that was 42, you know, and you know, or 41, and I think the 15221 was another 21. So I just wanted to make sure that in terms of how you think about it, I understand your constituency comes from the one zip code, other zip codes in the area that... maybe not necessarily your voters or taxpayers, but who have legitimate cause to know of and, you know,
and I did,
you know, utilize the business district.
And we did look at these comments, right.
And polls from all of those.
Sure, you know, they're visitors here.
Polls from all of those.
My
kids go to school at ECS. My kids go to, you know, Kung Fu at Shaolin Studio.
And that's why I did read all the comments and underline those things. I didn't discount them.
Absolutely.
The ones from the UK and, you know, I'm like, well, okay.
Yeah, it was pretty clear that a, you know, small handful of them were.
Yeah, and it was just a small handful of them. And the majority of the people who weren't from our boroughs were people who, you know, visited here, or they frequent, you know, the Square Cafe or
exactly.
Wherever.
I think if you were to, you know, if you were to characterize it in terms of not just people who live in Edgewood proper, but who actually patronize the businesses that pay taxes here,
sure.
You know, or, you know, you know, or in Swissvale for that matter, too. I mean, I think you're going to find that, you know, 90-some percent of them are people that have actual business in the district.
And
I just wanted to be able to make
sure,
a general point.
No, and I thank you about that. I do. And you know, want to assure you that we are doing the right thing the right way for the right reasons, and we do have an open mind. It's we're not anti-crosswalk. We're just, you know, safe.
Safe.
So.
Anti-unsafe crosswalk.
Yeah, that's correct. That's correct.
Fair enough. And we would certainly agree to that. And when I guess, you know, it's just worth saying, because I know you have a lot of other business to attend to. So this is a thing that you will be, you know, voting on the motion tonight.
That's correct.
And at this point then, you know, contract gets signed, and you would expect this study to really be commencing. I'm just curious, like, broad timelines for this.
In the first quarter of 2016, we're obviously going to wait till after the holidays when traffic...
17.
Yeah.
I mean,
resumes.
We're December 19th. So.
Yeah.
Understood.
Yes, we have spoken with the engineers about wanting to do this expediently, but they have estimated 4 weeks for them to do the work.
One last thing I'd say, and this is certainly true to those of us on the committee, is we know how long, I mean, was something that in traffic timelines is moving at breakneck pace is something that to the, most of the population at large looks like it's moving at a snail's pace. I certainly understand that, and certainly if you're commissioning a study and getting going on it within a month or so after voting, you know, we recognize that that is a good, you know, that's a quick turn.
Quick faith effort.
Exactly.
Yep.
It
yep.
is, and that's worth noting as well.
Well, thank you so much. Anyone else? Yes, sir.
Hey, my name is Tim Mantle. I live at 1223 South Braddock Avenue on the Edgewood side. I'm here mostly to express, in a related issue, concern over the state of the crosswalk at Charleston and Braddock. I'm on the 1200 block. I listen to the traffic there every day. I cross at that crosswalk every day. It's completely faded. That's the normal state of it. It's not uncommon to have to wait for at least five minutes before a car finally slows down. I myself have caused multiple accidents because the first car stops and some car three spots back doesn't. And I just, you did mention that there's better visibility there, and I take issue with that because while there are on the Swissvale side, there are signs, if someone's going towards the parkway, there are signs that say that there's a crosswalk. Drivers can't see them because it's going around a bend and they're mounted to trees. So the tree in front of the one with the sign is blocking it until you're almost on top of it.
And that's what our TAP grant talks about, you know, the signage and also, you know, fixing the crosswalk, the designated crosswalks that are there.
Sure.
And I know the crosswalk that you're talking about, and it really does need to be loved.
I frequently go up to Sanders because that is a safer, as someone who is putting their own life at risk to cross there, mm-hmm. that is a safer place to cross than the actual crosswalk. And every day I pick up that small crosswalk sign that's been hit by a car, even though it's right up against the sidewalk. Every day I pick that up, and within an hour or two, it's down again because it got hit again. And eventually, that's going to be a person that gets hit trying to cross
the stick-up thing. They got a little man crosswalk.
That's always down.
Yeah, it won't stay up for more than an hour. One time I stuck it in the middle of the road, and it was up for almost three straight weeks, and I was elated.
And that's, you know, that's, you know, the other part of what we'll be working on.
If that is the option, if you are directing people to cross at that crosswalk, I think that that's putting people in more danger than they are by crossing by the business district. So, thank you very much.
Thank you. Anyone else? All right. Thank you all very much for your comments and information. It's much appreciated. We will be having an executive session following committee action regarding real estate and personnel. There will not be a formal action on the executive session things. You all received the minutes of November 21st in your packet. Is there any corrections to those minutes?
I move to approve the minutes of November 21st, 2016.
Okay. Any questions or comments? Ms. Bassanini, you call the roll?
Mr. Bright?
Aye.
Mr. Wainwright?
Aye.
Mr. Wilson?
Aye.
Mr. Fuller?
Yes.
Ms. Schaefer?
Aye, and the motion passes. December 5th, public hearing.
To approve the minutes of the December 5th, 2016 public hearing.
Second.
Questions or comments? There was no comments at the public hearing. Our friend, Mr. Love, was there. Thank you. Ms. Bassanini, you call the roll.
Mr. Bright?
Aye.
Mr. Wainwright?
Aye.
Mr. Wilson?
Aye.
Mr. Fuller?
Yes.
Ms. Schaefer?
Aye, and the motion passes. And just remind folks that there was no tax increase with this year's budget. Minutes of December 5th, the public meeting, council meeting. Mr. Wainwright.
I move to approve the minutes of December 5th, 2016.
Second.
Questions or comments at that? Ms. Bustini, you call the roll?
Mr. Bray.
Aye.
Mr. Wainwright.
Aye.
Mr. Wilson.
Aye.
Mr. Fuller.
Yes.
Ms. Schaefer.
Aye, and the motion passes. Motion to authorize payments for bills and services. Mr. Wainwright.
I move to authorize the payment of bills for goods and services received by the borough, having been reviewed and approved by the General Government Committee from the general fund in the amount of $75,639.29, and from the sewer fund in the amount of $135,845.82, for a total of $211,485.11.
Second.
Any questions or comments?
As far as the general fund goes, the only unusual expenses out of the ordinary expenses are about $12,000 for engineering expenses related to Mifflin Road, the Mifflin Road cliff. Most of the sewer fund is the Alcosan pass-through that we send them quarterly.
Any other questions for Mr. Wainwright? Ms. Bassanini, call the roll.
Mr. Bray.
Aye.
Mr. Wainwright.
Aye.
Mr. Wilson.
Aye.
Mr. Fuller.
Yes.
Ms. Schaefer.
Aye, and the motion passes. Committee reports, general government. Mr. Wainwright.
I just gave my report. I have no further comments.
All right. Any questions for Mr. Wainwright? Thank you very much. And I want to thank, since this is our last meeting in 2016, the work of the General Government Committee. Very much appreciated all that you've done in working with the borough administration and helping us be responsible stewards of the taxpayers' money.
Another good budget.
Police, Mayor Cook.
Thank you, Madam President. What I was able to glean from the log, there doesn't seem to be a whole lot of unusual activity. And in fact, there were days that it seemed like not much of anything was going on, which is always good to report.
All right, thank you. Public safety, Mr. Fuller.
Public safety did not make.
Community development.
Did not meet.
Did not meet. Public Works, Mr. Wilson.
Did not meet.
Community Services didn't meet. Personnel, Mr. Fuller.
Did not meet.
Pension, Mr. Bright.
Pension Committee met, and two representatives from Oakmont Capital were here and gave us a rundown on the new plan.
And I see we have a motion on the agenda.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Three Rivers, wet weather, nothing. Connect, nothing. Burris Listers Report, Mr. Berry.
Thank you, Madam President. I have no public report this evening.
Thank you. Manager's Report.
Thank you, Madam President. Well, as you've noticed this weekend, winter weather is upon us, and our public works crews have already been called out 6 times this month in order to treat the roadways. They've worked hard to stay ahead of the ice storms, which we really appreciate. We're also working to keep, right now during the week, since it looks like we won't have any weather this week, they're working on keeping our catch basins cleared out so that any thawing snow will have somewhere to go. Parcel D bid packets are out. Bids are due in the borough building on January 17th. They'll be opened publicly at that night's council meeting. Anyone interested can request a bid packet from the borough office. I'd be happy to email them out to anybody as well. We are busy in the administrative office with year-end wrap-up. We're working especially hard because our 2016 audit will occur a little earlier than normal this year. Mayor Dussel had a gap in their schedule and said since Edgewood is normally prepared, would we be willing to start on January 17th, which gives us only 2 weeks after the end of the year to get ready. So we like a challenge, and we will be ready for the auditors January 17th. Your 2017 parking passes are now on sale, lot, on street, and visitors. Please remember to buy yours before the new year and whenever the mayor decides that the parking ban is back on. The borough elected and staff holiday luncheon is this Friday, December 23rd at 12:30 in the fire garage. All of council and the mayor are invited to attend. Just a few reminders, garbage day is tomorrow. We've actually, I think the transition has gone very smoothly from Friday to Tuesday. We have received almost no phone calls in the borough office about the change, which is unheard of. So we're happy about that. I have been working with our residents who are interested in forming a shade tree committee. We have about 5 or 6 residents who are very eager to serve on that committee, so I am in the process right now of drafting an ordinance. We obviously don't have an ordinance right now that authorizes the committee, so we're working on getting one that I will get to community services and general government for their review in the near
and
future.
And this is different than a shade tree commission.
Correct. What we're looking at is an advisory committee that would advise council. Our sewer repair project is well underway. We are very happy with the pace that Jet Jack has been pursuing. They've been in the borough digging manholes on Washington and on Hutchinson and Penwood. We're doing lining on Love Place and the borough line here. They do have to do some work on Race Street, and we're trying to find the best time to change traffic there to get that work done. And that is all I have.
Any questions for the borough manager?
All right.
And I, you know, am remiss. I want to thank the Community Services Committee and the Community Development Committee and Personnel, Public Safety, Public Works, all of you, and Pension, for all that you have done to keep us on track and out of court.
I'm sorry, Madam President. I do have one more thing. We talked before about the borough maps that Print creates. I have some samples here. We're ready for round two. There's some new businesses. If you guys want to take a look, if anybody has an opinion, please let me know. I'd be happy to hear your input on what makes a good map.
Life size.
Life size
map. We have close to life size options. Sorry, that's
and those are really nice.
They're very nice.
You know,
yes.
And I would hope we could kind of have them around.
Right. We print several extra here in the borough building. We actually use them as welcome packets. We put in parking information, voter registration, dog licenses, so that way when somebody comes in, we can hand them the map with the information and then everything tucked inside. So they will be mailed out to every home, and we'll have extras available.
Because, yeah. You know, you live here, and somebody stops you and says, where's such and such a street?
Right.
I'm thinking, okay. Well, I've traveled them all. Anything for the borough manager? Thank you, borough manager. Any new business to be brought before council? Yes, Mayor Cook.
Madam President, I'd like to lift the parking ban beginning Friday, December 23rd, and resuming the evening of January 3rd.
Okay. Thank you, Mayor Cook, for that. I do want to remind everyone that our first meeting in 2017 will be on January 3rd. And we will make sure that that's advertised since we usually meet on the first Monday and the second really is not a federal holiday, but our office is closed. Committee action, resolution 2016-28, the 2017 TAN, Mr. Wainwright.
By title only, I hope.
Yes.
Oh.
Borough of Edgewood Resolution 2016-28, authorizing the issuance of a tax and revenue anticipation note, Series 2017, with the terms set forth in the foregoing and attached certificate and transmittal, approving a form of note, authorizing designated officers to execute and deliver the note, authorizing and directing the filing of proceedings with the Department of Community and Economic Development, providing for the payment and security of the note, making certain federal income tax covenants in respect of the note, accepting the proposal of PNC Bank, National Association for the Purchase of the Note, and repealing inconsistent resolutions.
Second.
Questions or comments?
As a reminder, we're requesting a $300,000 TAN. Our interest rate from PNC is 1.745.
And a TAN is a tax anticipation note so that we can pay the bills while the taxes are coming in. Sorry.
Okay. We're scheduled to close this on January 3rd.
We are. I did. Thank you.
So I'll be signing stuff.
Yes.
Okay. Any questions about the resolution? Ms. Bess, you need to call the roll?
Mr. Bright.
Aye.
Mr. Wainwright.
Aye.
Mr. Wilson.
Aye.
Mr. Fuller.
Yes.
Ms. Schaefer.
Aye, and resolution 2016-28 passes. Motion to approve the investment policy statement, Mr. Bright.
Can I make one comment up front?
Why don't you just read the motion and then you can comment?
Okay. Well, I don't have any language to read other than this.
Yeah.
Okay. I move to approve the investment policy statement dated December 12, 2016.
Second.
Okay.
Well, this is a much more sophisticated investment policy statement. If you all have copies of it. There are only a few categories, and the ranges on the allocation for each one are broader. Well, now, on this list, the old statement has 10 items on it, but my copy from before shows 15. It doesn't matter if it's at 15. The point is there were many more categories and different allocations, different lower limits, different upper limits. When it's more complex like that, it ties the hands of the money managers. It is easier for them to manage the money if there are fewer categories and if they have a wider range of allocations, ranging down as low as zero and up to whatever amount it might be. So we should get better performance from them just by simplifying these limitations on their freedom to act.
Ms. Faustinini, this statement and plan is in keeping with legislation.
It is, correct. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is this what you're talking about?
We're good, Mr. Baird.
You see.
Okay, no, I have a comment on that. That's why I'm trying to see where he's looking.
Okay.
I want to see what Jeff is. The only comment I have on it, I don't think it's necessarily a big deal, but if you look on page 4, it appears to me that the target column on that chart, which is what Jack was talking about, or Mr. Bright was talking about, it appears to me that the it adds up to 103%.
That's how we're going to make money.
Well, I'm disappointed out. I mean, it's 50, 10, 3, and 40. Is what it looks like to me. And I'm not sure how important that is, but you might want to take a look at that.
It adds up to 100.
Okay.
50 domestic equity.
Right.
How that 50 is broken down is underneath that.
Right.
So 50, 10, and 40.
Well, there's also a 3 in there.
High yield 3.
All right, I must be looking at an older version.
Okay, well, I'm just pointing that out.
Here. Okay.
This line happened, I don't know why. 2% was added afterwards.
The original proposal from Oakmont Capital did not have a high yield category.
Yeah.
The pension committee wanted to add the high yield category. So a 3 in high yield was added as a result of that meeting.
Okay, and as I read this then, with that explanation, and I'm not suggesting that you get this revised, I think the number should add up to 100. That's really kind of a minor point. As I read this, you are essentially going for a 60-40 type investment policy.
That's correct.
Okay, and I just want everybody to understand that. That's a little aggressive, I think.
So.
Is that okay for municipal standards?
Yes, we were at 60-40 previously.
Okay, very good. I just want to make sure everybody understands what you're doing.
And that's the target range, or the target range, not the actual allocation, so.
Right, and if you have a good money manager, they will move it accordingly, and that's what Jack was saying, that you want somebody, that you want to give these people the ability to make money for you and also to protect your money, which I agree.
Yeah, we don't want to tie their hands too much. And during times of turmoil and disturbance in the investment markets, it's more important for them to be able to have freedom. It's easier to protect the money that way. Yeah. So it's definitely a major improvement.
Any other questions or comments? Ms. Bastina, you call the roll?
Mr. Bright.
Aye.
Mr. Wainwright.
Aye.
Mr. Fuller.
Yes.
Ms. Schaefer.
Aye, and the motion passes. Motion to authorize traffic study, Mr. Fuller.
I move to approve Civil and Environmental Consultants, Inc.'s proposal dated December 7, 2016 for a crosswalk evaluation of South Braddock Avenue and Sanders Street. The total cost of the project is $13,500 and will be split with Swissvale Borough.
Second.
Questions
or comments?
I think we've discussed it. You all had a copy of the proposal that you could take a look at, which details exactly what will be done, the analysis, the data collection, and what will be presented to both boroughs councils at the end of the study. As we mentioned during items from the floor, they are projecting 4 weeks. Certainly, this time of year, I do want to mention that weather could set that back. We don't want to be doing traffic counts in the middle of a blizzard. So we will be cognizant of that if we move forward with the study.
Any other questions or comments? Yes, Mr. Wainwright.
Do we have any idea how many studies have been done on this intersection previous to this?
No.
At least four.
Do you have any idea what they said? Do we try to pull them out? And I mean, I hate to reinvent the wheel. It's like this is the first time, but this isn't the first time. This has been looked at several times before.
Correct.
Do we have any idea what those older studies said? Because, I mean, the topography of that intersection hasn't changed since those last four studies.
Correct.
I have a PennDOT's interpretation of it, may I?
And the other question that we had was, you know, if it's no, but if it's possible with PennDOT changes or, you know, with newer ways of calming traffic or whatever, is it feasible? And with that, how much would that be? So this is what the traffic study's looking at. I don't know specifically how the other traffic studies were phrased, or, you know, if there was another component added to it with the, you know, if yes, or possibly, you know, what would we be looking at? So I think, you know, that also is a component that we can't ignore as well.
Traffic counts may have changed. How the roadway is used could change. So that will all be looked at. Number of vehicles, number of pedestrians, age of pedestrians, all of that will be considered. And we have not, Edgewood has not done a formal traffic study in a while, so the thought was that it was time to look at those numbers again. But you are correct, this is not the first study of this intersection.
What line item are we going to pull our
traffic engineering?
Traffic engineering, how much?
We budgeted $50,000 next year. Please keep in mind, though, that you also need to pay CDC for the work we've already assigned to them for the TAP grant. The TAP grant does not cover engineering. That all comes out of.
It's called a little bit of 2017 expense.
Yes.
Any other questions? Ms. Bassini, you call the roll?
Mr. Bright.
Aye.
Mr. Wainwright.
Aye.
Mr. Fuller.
Yes.
Ms. Schaefer.
Aye, and the motion passes. At this time, we're going to go into executive session to discuss real estate and personnel. Thank you all very much.
Good job.